BoxingVoice.com.
What broke him down? Was it just the body punches? I was hitting him with body punches. I heard him actually, he was crying in there. You're saying that Big was crying when you hit him?
Yes.
When did that happen?
And perhaps the fourth round on.
BoxingVoice.com.
So that you knew you had him by that time.
Absolutely. I knew you were fucking tough and you were taking those punches.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Election Day on demand. Get it on, talk some boxing on your day off. Hopefully you did your voting and you're back with TBV talking a little Manny Pacquiao versus possibly Vasyl Lomachenko, anywhere between 135 and 140 pounds. This is an on-demand show brought to you by our good listener, Alex, all the way from Australia. So remember, ladies and gentlemen, hit that thumbs up for one of your own purchasing a show on his own topic. If this is something that you're interested in, something you want to listen to, remember to call 1-425-569-5241. We will always be taking calls so you can voice your opinion on this topic.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right. I want to be like you. Come on, man. I'm the face of boxing. I'm the cash cow. I'm the only man who will be with you.
Hey. I know my situation. I want to fight.
That's not my production.
But it's going to be worth it.
BoxingVoice.com back with another on-demand episode courtesy of Alex all the way in Australia. Tonight, because of Alex, we're going to be talking a little Manny Pacquiao, but a little bit different. Alex is interested in the possible Vasyl Lomachenko fight with Manny Pacquiao that is said to possibly be taking place somewhere around 135 to 140 pounds. So let me head on over to the Sunshine State of Florida to talk to the good Dr. Boxing MD. It's been a long time, Boxing MD. I know your birthday is past. How was your week and how's been your time off, my friend?
I never left, but, you know, I just wasn't able to make the show. But, you know, it was nice to go to see some family. And I did see the Manny Pacquiao fight. You know, I'll talk more about it in the show, but happy to be back.
Well, obviously you weren't able to get on the immediate reaction show or the post-fight due to family affairs. Let us know your overall assessment of Manny Pacquiao. Obviously, quickly, and then just kind of pivot that into Vasyl Lomachenko.
I think it went down exactly how I expected it to, you know, where Jesse Vargas got hit with something early. He sat down in the second round, and that was not a flash knockdown. I thought he hurt him there. Did you feel the same?
I mean, it was definitely a flash knockdown, in my opinion.
But in the sense that and
went down and got back up.
Yeah, but it caused Jesse Vargas to fight really hard and overextend himself in the next two or three rounds where he kind of gassed him. Manny Pacquiao took over. It wasn't a close fight. I think that Manny Pacquiao fights a little more conservative now with his selection, and because obviously he lunges in, but I still think he has tools. You know, he's at the top of the welterweight division, and I'd still favor him against pretty much anybody.
Well, speaking of favoring, how would you pit him against Vasyl Lomachenko's speed, his own in and out movement, that footwork? We all know that he took ballet to improve on that footwork when he was training at the Freddie Roach gym. So what do you think about Manny Pacquiao and the possibility of possibly facing Vasyl Lomachenko? And now even Manny, before the Jesse Vargas fight, MD, Manny was saying, no way I could get to 135. 135 is actually something that he's thinking about because he only weighed 144 for the weigh-in of a 147-pound fight with Jesse Vargas. So what do you think about Manny? I mean, it's been over a decade since he's been that low. Is that something dangerous, or is 144 for a 37-year-old man kind of signs that he can make that 135?
I think 135 is a far cry, you know, but I think 140 he definitely can make. So that's the lowest I see Manny Pacquiao going for any fight. And I don't know, for some reason I feel like this fight is a possibility down the road. maybe like 2 or 3 years, because I see Manny Pacquiao fighting into his 40s for some reason. I feel like he loves boxing too much, and he's not, you know, he's going to continuously fight. But it's not until Vasyl Lomachenko faces Nicholas Walters that we could see if he's able to take a punch from a larger fighter who has pop, because Manny Pacquiao, at least what he showed against Jesse Vargas, who's never been down, right? He was able to drop him with that power, and he still has accuracy and quick hands, which obviously brings power with it. So I just see right now it being a competitive fight in the sense that Lomachenko has angles and speed and boxing ability to land punches on Manny Pacquiao. And since Manny Pacquiao's rhythm is kind of predictable, where he lunges in and he lands, he throws a very similar combinations, leading with the left and coming with the right. I don't really see, I still see Lomachenko having some opportunities to land, but I could see him just getting really hurt from Manny Pacquiao's power at this point, because he's a bigger, quicker, better fighter, you know, more proven.
Yeah, I mean, very hard to argue with that. Vasyl Lomachenko, in an interview with the Radio Raheem, mentioned that he was 138 at the time of the interview during his camp for Nicholas Walters, which is basically now, and that anything above 135 would be just too much for him. Now, Bob Arum is very high on the matchup, and he believes that he can get this matchup done at a catchweight. Now, again, if Lomachenko wants it at 135, Pacquiao wants it at 140, I'm sure that they'll come to an agreement of maybe 139, 138, and find a way to keep this fight in-house, because Pacquiao does have options. But if Pacquiao's going to move to 140, I don't think Vasyl or Terrence Crawford are big enough names that should merit Pacquiao moving down and you know, training extra hard to lose these 4 or 7 said pounds, don't you think? I mean, is Terrence Crawford or Vasyl Lomachenko versus Manny Pacquiao a bigger fight than Jesse Vargas was?
I don't know. Are you talking about like pay-per-view buys, attention?
I mean, level of interest amongst fans, competitiveness. Well,
amongst who? Like, Terrence Crawford obviously would be a high level of interest amongst hardcores, but I don't know. I just don't see these guys being, I guess, big enough right now to risk Pacquiao. But I don't think Lomachenko is necessarily that big of a risk, because I think Manny Pacquiao is so much bigger. But I think that Bob Arum is looking for 3 guys, and we have to admit that Floyd Mayweather is one of those guys. Like, that fight seems to be something that Bob Arum, who, you know, is trying to make a lot, you know, leave this world making a good deal and making some money, because that's what he's been doing his whole life. So,
well, that is the obvious choice, Doctor. I mean, it is the most money, but
Canelo is there.
But these, Canelo, Floyd, those are fights where.
And so is Cotto.
But those are all. Well, Cotto is probably still a winnable fight, but Canelo and Floyd, I think those are very losable fights, meaning that if Pacquiao suffered a loss,
it doesn't matter, because those fights are so financially beneficial for the company, right? That they're willing to accept what happens after that loss, because it's a cash grab. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, but a loss to any of those guys, it's kind of like it's over. There's no reason.
So it might be over, or he'll fight Vasyl Lomachenko after, right? Or Terrence Crawford after.
So I mean, you're saying, if you're Bob Arum, you go for the biggest, most lucrative fight now.
Yes.
In hopes that he succeeds and is successful in it. And if not, you try to rebuild him with Vasyl or Terrence Crawford as a, you know.
Or then he'll be the name that gives them the boost that they need to push their own careers.
Now, Lomachenko has been, like I said, vocal about saying that he wants to fight at 135. I remember that, you know, Broner was heavily criticized in the media when he tried to stipulate certain things in a Manny Pacquiao fight. Obviously, his stipulations or negotiations were about money. And Danny Garcia was also allegedly offered the fight. He did do an interview with numerous media outlets saying that, you know, Bob needed to have a better offer. Bob claims that he never offered Danny the fight. But again, what I'm trying to show is a pattern of the B side trying to dictate to the A side. If Manny Pacquiao says, Lomachenko, I want to fight you at 140. Well, Lomachenko should understand that Pacquiao was almost on his way out. And really, at 140?
Well,
there is no one that represents the type of money that Manny Pacquiao brings to Lomachenko. Am I right?
Yeah, but Ness,
may not be told, hey, I mean, Manny's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Could you name another guy that Lomachenko would make a pay-per-view fight with, let alone the amount of money that he'll make with a Pacquiao fight?
I don't think so. No, definitely not a pay-per-view fight, because none of those guys...
So shouldn't he just concede?
Shouldn't he
be happy that his promoter, for one, and Manny Pacquiao, for two, are both, before his fight with Walters, promoting his name through the media? I mean, would we really be talking about Lomachenko in this fashion? Yes, we would be talking about his fight with Walters, but would we be talking about pay-per-views with his name if it wasn't for Manny Pacquiao? So I think
he's
gracious and concede and accept whatever it is Pacquiao wants to do.
But you're right, but that's part of what Bob Arum's doing as, you know, a promoter, is he continuously mentions Terrence Crawford and Lomachenko and, like, names with fighters that obviously aren't really, you know, we don't consider serious fights, just to bring the attention to his fighters, right? So I think that's a promoter being a promoter. But I think the difference between what Danny Garcia is saying, that he, you know, the money needs to be better, I guess, for his fight, or Bob Arum saying he didn't offer him a fight. Like, to be honest, like, it could be a scenario in which I, like, send you, like, a, I guess, preliminary papers or a message somehow that I'm making a, you know, I'm testing the waters and with the offer I'm giving you, right? So it might have not been an official contract. You feel me on that, Ness?
I smell where you're going.
Yeah. So.
I hear where you're going. I mean, look, I'm sure something was sent on behalf of Top Rank 2, Danny.
Because Danny Garcia would have to have some substance in which to be, like, other fighters, you know, disrespected or not after enough money, right? They couldn't just be assuming that they're not getting paid enough money, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel something probably went back and forth. Now, Bob Arum has also said that he would be willing to pay any amount of money to make this fight happen between Lomachenko and Pacquiao.
But what does that even mean, though?
Maybe he's willing to offer Lomachenko what he needs to offer Lomachenko to take the catch weight or the 140-pound weight. Meaning, if Lomachenko says, I want $2 million, well, I'm giving him $2 million. If he wants 2.5, well, he's getting 2.5, because I think that fight is that big. And I being Bob Arum, not Nestor.
Yeah, I mean, but everything we say is predicated off him beating Nicholas Walters, obviously, right? Because if he loses to him, right?
Obviously.
So, no, I really, like, I love speculating about fights, obviously, but aren't you really interested to see in how he handles a bigger, stronger puncher, you know, some consider him a beast, right? So, aren't you kind of, you know, if he handles him pretty easily, wouldn't you be more inclined to think he had some success, right?
I would definitely think that Lomachenko would have more success versus Pacquiao based off his performance versus Walters, but that fight doesn't take place to about 2 more weeks, maybe 3 more weeks. And Alex, who is possibly ready to go. Alex, send me a message there if you're ready to go. This is what he wanted to talk about. You know what I'm saying? But let me ask you, MD, is it cherry picking for Pacquiao to pick a guy out of 126 for his next fight on pay-per-view, make us pay for it? Isn't this like what people, you know, complain about Eddie Hearn about or any other promoter? I mean, at the end of the day, is this not cherry picking?
Well, was Jesse Vargas cherry picking?
Well, Jesse Vargas was a champion at 147 pounds.
But you could also say someone like Pacquiao who could get a – let's be real here. Like, someone like Pacquiao could get a fight with anybody, right? Maybe not Floyd, obviously, right?
Uh-huh.
So they could have chosen anybody. And they picked a weak – let's keep it real. The worst, by far the worst, championship at 147, right? So wouldn't that to some degree be a cherry pick? in the way, in the sense in which they're finding a weakness in which they match make to benefit them as a fighter?
Well, I mean, I can absolutely see your argument, but I believe that the people would say Jesse Vargas was a young undefeated champion, or, you know, once beaten champion, and, you know, Pacquiao was coming on to face a champion. You know, much like when Mayweather came back to face Victor Ortiz.
Yeah, but at the same time, I just don't – I really – I thought it was a little ridiculous that Jesse Vargas, in which he did as a fighter, right? Even Chris Algieri's win against Provodnikov was better than what Jesse Vargas has done his entire career, right? And even the Kareem Mayfield win was bigger than most of the things that Jesse Vargas has done in his career. We've seen him struggle over and over again, right? Like, I don't know why – that was probably the best Jesse Vargas could have done in that fight, and he still seemed levels apart. So, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people were.
Wait. What are you trying to say? That, hey, he's been cherry picking. Why would this be any different? I mean, say what you mean.
I mean, I think that it's, if he fought Lomachenko, right? I think it would be detrimental to only Lomachenko's career and not really beneficial to Manny Pacquiao's career at all. I don't see it, you know, making him more popular. Like I said, I think Bob Arum's looking for a huge cash out fight right now, right now. So what, and maybe Danny Garcia is one of the names, right? Obviously they offered him a fight, you know, whatever happened, it wasn't the right money, but they're willing to talk. So, I mean, that's another option. Obviously Danny Garcia is Keith Thurman, but obviously I don't see Manny Pacquiao fighting someone like Errol Spence, Keith Thurman, Sean Porter, any of the 147 guys who are dangerous that don't bring the star power that someone maybe like even Kell Brook or Amir Khan, if he goes overseas to fight, right? But I don't see Errol Spence, like I said, Keith Thurman, those guys aren't going to get a shot right now.
Well, Manny Pacquiao has numerous options. Like you said, he could take Canelo. That could be a big fight, he and Canelo. He could take on Terrence Crawford after Crawford beats Molina. He could sit it out, handle his Senate, let the first quarter go by, and take on the winner of Danny versus Thurman for a unification. That would be three belts on the line. You know, he could take on Brook right now, since Brook asked for the 60-day extension from the IBF. Brook is dying for a big fight. That would be a unification, one belt unification. He would be capitalizing off of the popularity that Brook has gotten for being in the ring with Triple G, for putting up such a valiant performance with Triple G, going out on his shield, and I'm using air quotes, with Triple G. So Manny Pacquiao would be getting Kell Brook right after that fight. And, you know, to be honest, which Gennady Golovkin opponent, and you're the expert on that, right? So which Gennady Golovkin opponent do you know has gone on to be successful after losing to Gennady Golovkin?
I mean, you see what happens in the ring. I mean, people get hurt. I'm not trolling.
You're not, because that is my point. My point is, you know, they usually be, you know, either don't come back or come back to lose. So that being said, maybe Pacquiao can detach that retina from a broken and orbital bone. Who knows what could take place? I mean, he has the power, obviously. He's still knocking out a young Jesse, knocking down a young Jesse Vargas by.
Yep. And doesn't it also silence a lot of people's speculation about him not being able to show up for that fight? Because, I mean, he was in second gear the whole night. After he dropped Jesse Vargas, Ness, did that fight look difficult for him? Did it honestly look difficult for Manny Pacquiao?
Yeah. I'm not going to get into a Jesse Vargas Manny Pacquiao review, but we got two of those. Immediate reaction, which did.
But just answer that single question.
YouTube channel and on our iTunes. And if you're watching this on YouTube right now, please hit that thumbs up. It is very important. Let me see. So, I don't know. Lomachenko or Crawford, in your opinion, MD, what is better for you?
Terrence Crawford, because they're, you know, the same size. Lomachenko is much smaller. He's just not fighting at 130. Like, his last fight, I guess, was his last fight at 130 or 126?
Last fight was at 130. He's a 130-pound champ now.
Okay, so, you know, he's jumping up 10 pounds. Manny Pacquiao's been fighting at 147, even at 150. So it's just too much of a size disparity. So I'd say Terrence Crawford, definitely.
Absolutely. I think Crawford would be more competitive. You know, there's quotes out there that Freddie Roach last week, right after the fight, is saying that Terrence Crawford and Manny Pacquiao fight would be similar to the Floyd Mayweather fight. And that just sent – all I did was read the headline, and I was like, oh, man, you know, that doesn't sound well. But let's get our faithful, loyal, super-duper official listener, Alex, all the way from Australia, to give us his takes on, you know, Manny Pacquiao possibly taking on Vasyl Lomachenko. Just exactly why is he so high on this fight? Alex, why is it that you want to even see Vasyl when he's giving up so many pounds?
Hi, everyone. I was just going to say that, I'm really high on, it's because I'm high on Lomachenko in general. I mean, we all know there's levels in boxing, and I think there's a top tier that only like a handful of people can actually reach, like your Manny Pacquiao's, your Mayweather's, and there's like a certain skill level, and I think Lomachenko really hits that skill level. Like, if you look at all the other fighters in the welterweight division, you got your Thurman, Porter, Kell Brook, Amir Khan, you got all of them, we're all great fighters, but I just don't think any of them are at that top level with skill wise. I mean, I was always told when thinking of pound for pound, you got to think, like, for example, if you're going to rank your pound for pound fighters, you're going to put it Lomachenko as 10. That's pretty much saying that there's 9 fighters in the world that you see, if they were the same weight, that could beat Lomachenko. Now, asking you that question, would you put many people before Lomachenko? Like, would you say there's many people in the world that you think in the surrounding divisions could beat him?
So I hear you're saying like skills, like you're totally basing your, you know, your objectivity on like skills pay bills, right? Like that's what makes you as a pro. And I think Vasyl Lomachenko is one of the most skilled fighters on earth, but he has not been tested enough, like to show that he has like, I guess, an iron chin, I guess, ring generalship and championship experience to be, you know, any higher, I think. Right. Like, you hear where I'm coming from? Like, you're prospecting based on what you see, you know, how he's flashy, how he's quick, how he shows, you know, good pedigree, right? Is that what I...
Yes. Of course, yes. But also, it's the fact that if he was going to fight any welterweight, Pacquiao's moved up from 106, so it makes the most sense. I mean, if you'd put any other name from the welterweight division in with Lomachenko, I probably wouldn't see it as a kind of fair fight because they're all so much larger. But Pacquiao did move up from 106 and Lomachenko did start at 126. So, I mean, it's a bit of a stretch. It's a bit far-fetched. Like, I fully see that. But I'm talking just pure skill-wise. This is one of the highest caliber of fights you could watch, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I could also see Lomachenko eventually growing a little larger and being around the same size Pacquiao is, right? Maybe that's 3 or 4 years down the road if Pacquiao's still fighting. Is that, you know, something that you were thinking of too?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, 3 or 4 years down the road, I don't think Pacquiao will be nearly as good as he is right now. I mean, he's already, I feel from the Vargas fight, you can slowly start to see his decline. But, you know, it's getting that way. So I feel like out with the old, in with the new, and I'm very high on Lomachenko. So just hoping they do get the fight. Yep.
Let me ask you, do you think that Lomachenko could do it next? Like, if he's able to come away with the win in the Walters fight, say he gives similar performance to the Gary Russell win, is that all you need to see him in there next with Pacquiao?
Well, I mean, you got to look at it. In the amateurs, he had 400 fights and one controversial loss, which he avenged twice. Then in the pros, he had one fight, which he lost, which in my opinion was a little bit dirty, a little bit of a scrappy fight. I'm not defending it. I personally think he lost that fight no matter how you look at it, but I'm just saying. So you look at the pedigree of this fighter, and I think it can happen next, and it should happen next. And honestly, if it does happen, my pick would be Lomachenko. I just think he's just too... The only person in the surrounding divisions that I believe could actually beat Lomachenko would be Rigondeaux. But besides that, I really don't think anyone can. So I'm not sure. I think he can do it next.
Wow. So you think Rigo beats Lomo, but Lomo beats Pacquiao?
Well, it's hard to say with all the weight issues, but I think
Rigondeaux,
boxer I've ever laid.
How would you see Crawford versus Lomachenko? Because I feel like that size, because if the skill set is anywhere close to being even, right, size and strength does play a role. And I think Crawford is much bigger and stronger than Lomachenko, obviously.
Yeah, I believe that too. I do think, but I think if you look at the frames of Pacquiao and Crawford, Crawford looks like the much, like, he's got a bigger frame. And I think, is he a lot taller or a couple inches?
Yeah, he's probably 5'10", and Pacquiao's 5'5". So Crawford's a much larger person.
That's what I mean. I think Pacquiao would be a much easier fight for him than Crawford, even though I think Pacquiao would probably, hard to say, but I think Pacquiao would edge Crawford. So it's very hard to say. It's like a little rock, paper, scissors kind of thing, you know? Just, I think Lomo could beat Pacquiao, but might lose to Crawford.
So, Alex.
And,
Lomo is saying 135 is the highest he can go, but as I was explaining to MD, Pacquiao opportunities come around once in a lifetime. And sometimes you get lucky like Bradley Marquez and Eric Morales, and you can make trilogies out of it. But you don't necessarily pass on a Pacquiao shot. Both Adrian Broner and Danny Garcia were shamed for taking rejecting alleged offers to Pacquiao. So wouldn't Lomachenko suffer that same shame for trying to say, let's do it at 135 when he's not the A side to dictate?
Well, it really depends how you look at it. The way I look at it is Lomachenko right now just moved up to 130. Like he's just got his feet wet in the 130 division, and now he's fighting a beast in Axeman. So it's very hard to say because Pacquiao is at 147. So I really don't know where this fight should be. I mean, 140 would be too much. I mean, he's already a 2-weight world champion in 7 fights, arguably at least. And he's, you know, what, is he going to move up another 2 divisions? Like, he's really got to see, he's still new to the pros. And that's where I think he went wrong with Salido. So I wouldn't rush him 2 divisions up. I don't think that's kind of fair to say that he'd be ducking Pacquiao if he didn't want to go up to 140 just yet. In a couple of years, maybe, but not right now, yeah.
All right, so what happens? You know, they say, all right, they offer it to him, but it's got to be 140. He says no.
I think Aram has a big plan in mind. I think he truly believes, and a lot of people would truly believe, that Lomachenko would be Aram's next star, next pay-per-view star. He's got the style, he's got the aggressiveness, you know, the great footwork. So I really do believe that what Aram is doing is he's waiting till Pacquiao's just old enough and Lomachenko's just rising up enough to make this fight, because I think he even believes Lomachenko might be able to beat Pacquiao and that'll shoot start him into, you know, as a pay-per-view star if he beats Pacquiao. So, yeah.
How tall is Lomachenko? I mean, does he even have the body?
I think he's 5'7".
Yeah, I think he's an inch taller than Pacquiao. Yeah, he's an inch taller. I was looking it up before. So it's not like he's too small. It's just he's just started. I think that's the only thing.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, stylistically, what is it about the fight that, I guess, excites you?
Man, look what you're asking. You've got two of the best pressure fighters of our generation as a topic, you know, like Pacquiao, who's been knocking people out since God knows when, even though he hasn't got one recently, you still see the combinations, the speed, and then you got Lomachenko, who's got all the tools in the toolbox, and he just nonstop swarms you, little light punches, heavy punches. I mean, it's a fight that's meant for, yeah, it's got fireworks all written all over it, I think. So,
but because they both have similar styles, where they kind of like, you know, fine range with the jab and dart in and out, are you afraid that there may not be fireworks?
Nah, I think there's no way you can avoid fireworks. I mean, both of them realize what's on the line. And if Pacquiao ends up signing a fight for Lomachenko, I think he'd do his research a little bit and realize Lomachenko is no joke, and he's not gonna. I don't think he'll be very tentative. I think he'll try and use his weight, his size that he's had for years, as an advantage and put pressure on. And Lomachenko is just. Lomachenko, yeah.
There's too much skill there for it to be a horrible fight. Like, I doubt it's going to be a slugfest. Like, I couldn't see it being like that. But even in a fight that a lot of people, you know, casual fans didn't think was that great, when you see Lara versus Canelo, I mean, that was a good technical fight because both guys had high level of skill and they're good boxers, even though it wasn't necessarily a firefight. So when you put two guys in the ring with elite talent, you know, it always aesthetically looks decent, even if it's not the most exciting fight. So I see where you're coming from, why you're intrigued in this fight.
Yeah, anytime you have two top, I mean, even like if you don't get Loma versus Pacquiao, I'd really love to see Crawford. I mean, all of these are great fights. I just thought the reason I wanted to do this show was because I thought it was extremely strange that they're mentioning Lomachenko versus Pacquiao at this point. Like, obviously, I feel that it's a bit of a stretch, but I do like the idea. I mean, Lomachenko's an up-and-comer. He's well, not an up-and-comer. He's a world champion, but I mean, he's only had a few fights, but I really like the idea of promoting so good for boxing. I think Lomachenko's really good for boxing.
How soon do you see this one happening, if not next, right? Because you think next is too quick because Lomachenko just got to 130. So how soon?
Maybe the end of next year. I think maybe Pacquiao and Lomachenko might have one more fight each, and hopefully they both win it. And then I think Aaron's going to really hype it up. And he's doing a great job so far. I've been watching videos on him, and he's really...
Looks like he dropped off now. Now, does Crawford have the opportunity to make himself a player with an exciting win over John Molina? Or is John Molina not a sexy enough name? You see, because Lomachenko is facing Nicholas Walters, you know, and some might say Walters is pound for pound, right? So that fight is sexier, and the winner is obviously more prestigious, whereas the Molina fight, some are turned off by it. But Molina is high off the Ruslan win, and if he upsets Crawford, then he might be fighter of the year.
I mean, I would assume that Terrence Crawford right now is much more mainstream, right, than Vasyl Lomachenko, who's not really known. He does speak English, so he has an opportunity. So I'd say that Terrence Crawford, no matter what he does, is further along his way, you know, looking at, you know, as far as a better financial opponent, right? You see where I'm coming from with that? Like, there's nothing Vasyl Lomachenko could do in his next fight that could make him above Terrence Crawford.
Really? But that's what I meant. Like, a dominant win over Walters.
Sometimes, you know, what casual or what people who watch boxing and hardcore fans see in a fighter, right, and how he gauges potential and what he could be, it doesn't always translate to notoriety, right? So, like, a lot of people are high on Errol Spence. But Errol Spence doesn't really have the name that even like Amir Khan has. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't always equal each other. And I see that right now Terrence Crawford is more popular than Lomachenko. And even, you know, despite even after – if Lomachenko knocks out Walters, I think it'll get him some mainstream buzz, but I still think Crawford's ahead.
Yeah, man, I agree. Crawford, he's had a – longer period of time on HBO. He's more established. And John Molina is going to be a good name on his resume. And you know, I don't see that as a hard task for him, especially when Broner had Molina so befuddled with just simple boxing techniques.
I mean, if it's a hard task, then Crawford maybe is not what we think he is. But I think Crawford is, so it'll be an easy task.
Yeah, but even if it's a hard task, depending on how that fight looks, I don't know if we should automatically jump the gun either. Because
I mean, he shouldn't have problems with John Molina. Let's keep it real here.
Molina has improved.
Then it'll show that pressure could get to him.
Well, remember, it's not about pressure because Molina changed up. Ruslan thought it was going to be pressure versus pressure. And
he's not going to be able to do that against Crawford. He's going to have to kind of fight him like he did with Broner, which is kind of move forward like a mummy and try to land big shots because he's going to get destroyed if he sits back and tries to pox him.
Well, I would hope that he learned from the Broner fight and he doesn't take the same.
But you know, Ness, it's easier said than done sometimes if you try to have a game plan like that, because you know you're not, if you're standing like distance away from somebody, right, and they're levels above you, he's literally not going to land any punches from if he's going to try to box him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh no, I listen.
Like
I am.
His
I am,
best bet is to fight his style against him.
I am not fearful that we're going to see Molina back in that trance. It's happened with Lundy, with Mickey Bay, with Broner. The only difference is with Mickey Bay and with Hank Lundy, he was able to get that knockout in the very late end. But, yeah, that's unfortunate. I think Alex is back. So, Alex, I'll ask you the same question, my friend.
Yep.
Do you think that Lomachenko can possibly, I guess, muster up enough attention with a big Walters win to put himself in position for that Pacquiao fight ahead of Terrence Crawford? Because we're debating here whether the Crawford-Molina fight would, you know, ultimately catapult Crawford to be next for Pacquiao based on popularity and, you know, lucrativeness, right? The money that he brings, because Lomachenko is fairly unknown.
Yeah, look, obviously Crawford's probably the front runner for it, but I think it really depends. Like, you got to look at this from, like, so Bob Arum has all these fighters in his stable. Now, these are probably, we're talking about his probably three of his top fighters. Now, if we're talking about, obviously, who's more accomplished, at least in the professional ranks, is Crawford. So he's obviously the front runner. But if you look at it stylistically, who is a more marketable kind of fighter, I think that it would fall to Lomachenko because of his aggressive, fast, quick, elusive style. Whereas Crawford's got a more Mayweather defensive kind of style, and that's a lot harder to sell. So I think even though Crawford is the front runner, if Lomachenko is impressive enough against Axeman and does get public attention, I think he would rather put Lomachenko in just on the chance that if Lomachenko does beat Pacquiao, because, I mean, Crawford is probably a tougher fight for Pacquiao than Lomachenko. And if Crawford wins, I don't think he has a great marketable style like Lomachenko does. So it's a bit of a hard one, to be honest.
Alex, well, this is your show, so let us know when you want us to open up these phone lines. We got a few callers.
But Alex, one, is it because Crawford, I would say the biggest criticism on Crawford as far as him being a, I guess, fan-pleasing fighter is his output, right? Because I think that's what people get frustrated, that he is so in control with his footwork and speed that his output is not where, I guess, a casual fan's fighter is.
Yeah, like, say, me personally, I've always liked a more defensive style. Like, I've liked someone that is more calculated with how many punches they throw. But I think that is what it is. His output just isn't enough to really captivate the casual fan. So if Arum is planning to start one of their careers, I think it would be more sensical to do that with Lomachenko, because he has that style that can really make a lot of money in the sport, and he definitely has the pedigree and level of fighting. So
yeah, but also, I, you know, although I do, you know, give Bob Arum props for doing this thing at 84 years old, or what is this, is he 83 or 84, right?
80, very old.
How many years down the road is he really looking for building fighters down the road? I mean, is he going to be doing this until he's 95, 96?
Well, I mean, feel like, come on, he's not thinking about himself. He's got a company. He's got, you know,
so I know. I just,
the buff is there. Who's his godson? I mean, son-in-law.
So you don't think he's really like top dog anymore? That he's kind of sitting back, like he's going to do that, or
not that he's not top dog. I'm just saying, I think that he's always trying to build the next star, regardless of his age.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand. I just think that they tried with Crawford, you know, to put him on pay per view. It didn't do too well. And it's going to be much harder, I think, in this era to build a pay-per-view fighter, given the fact that it doesn't seem like a lot of people are buying boxing pay-per-views right now.
Well, based on styles, right? And if we go with Alex's, I guess, the way in which he formulated how this fight would play out, and based on, you know, both guys being pound for pound, and, you know, the fact that pound for pound says if each guy were in the same weight. Based off that, Lomachenko definitely has the style to make Manny Pacquiao look the way that he made Oscar De La Hoya look when he arrived.
I don't know. Maybe Lomachenko is going to grow into a fighter that we see him use his extremely, touted amateur pedigree and skill and become an aggressive come forward fighter, in the sense that he's going to go for the knockout. But I don't know, you know, he would have to, when Manny Pacquiao was fighting in the early 2000s, he was that type of fighter that had the type of killer instinct that wasn't just using his boxing skills. So I mean, do you think that Lomachenko could change into that type of fighter where he really is, you know, looking for a vicious knockout? Because it is a mentality at this level, Ness. You understand that between risk-taking and, you know, just trying to win, if you're trying to go for that type of knockout.
I hear you. Alex, let us know if you want us to take these phone calls. We got a couple of guys over here. Do you want to open up these phone lines?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Open them up.
All right. Let's get to – no producer, boys. No producer. So, 214, who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Roger. Calling from Dallas.
Roger.
On Sunday.
Roger, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, good, brother. So the topic is Vasyl Lomachenko possibly taking on Manny Pacquiao. How do you like that fight?
Honestly, it'd be a beautiful fight to watch. Honestly, both boxers are tremendous fighters. Lomachenko is very skillful. He's shown a lot of skill in his recent fights. But you know, if he doesn't feel like he's And I remember he mentioned that he felt like he was a little too small for Pacquiao, and he feel like he didn't really.
Yeah, he felt like he didn't want to go above 135 pounds. Is that what you're talking about, Roger? You there? Roger, mayday, mayday. Roger, you copy that? Looks like we lost Roger. Roger, come back to us. We got 678. 678, who is this? Where are you calling from?
Yo, you there?
We are here. Who's over there?
Yo, it's Milk. It's Milk.
Oh, Milkman, what's going on, my friend? We got no producer today. He's at his other job. So let's go ahead and give you one of the best intros we have.
I told y'all a long time ago that Kirkland will go down 3 rounds.
All right, right hand. Down goes Kirkland. Spat me up.
Next, I got Milk, baby.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, look. Pacquiao, Lomachenko, that's a damn joke. I'm not. Am I the only man on the damn planet that wants to see Lomachenko get some damn get back at Toledo before he talks about anybody in the fucking upper echelon? Why am I the only man talking about this? This man needs to fucking finish Toledo once and for all, man. He is going to be the fucking looming cloud over his career until he gets him back. All right?
I feel like you only like
hey, man.
Milkman, here's how I feel about
Lomachenko.
Yo, so I agree to an extent in the sense that if you frame it that way, right? If you ignore the sense that it was his third fight and Salido pretty much won on illegal body shot, illegal low blows. Let's keep it real. And you need to go watch that fight again. And is it really a cloud? I would say it would be better if he won, but it's not a cloud. It's not going to stop him from having a successful career.
Listen, man.
Yeah, I agree with MD there. I don't think it really stops him from having a successful career. And if you really look at it, MD had a great point. Like, there was so many low blows. Do you call that a real fight he has to avenge? That was barely a fight to watch. It was so scrappy and dirty.
No. I disagree. Now, I disagree with you guys, and I agree with Milkman. I think that loss is a loss. Regardless of how the man lost, he should avenge it. And the fact that he got hit with low blows, well, that's not no one's fault but his own for getting in there with such a skilled veteran, not doing enough research, because we all knew Lomachenko was dirty.
What do you say? You're like, I don't know. Like, that's – yeah, because you're choosing to frame it that way. You're choosing to kind of ignore the sense that a fighter did win illegally.
No. I'm ignoring the fact that the other fighter didn't do his homework.
Or the referee didn't do his job, or Lomachenko wasn't, you know, able to adjust that in his third fight. So there's all these factors. So you could put them all together and you kind of see a picture that it wasn't really like Lomachenko was outclassed in his third fight. He lost a really close.
I'm going to tell you.
Was that fight close to you, Milkman?
Look. It was close for the first, like, few rounds, man. But, like, after round four, Toledo just kind of, I don't know, man. Watching Lomachenko that fight, he kind of just reminded, it was almost like watching kind of like Pascal when he fought Dawson. It's kind of like he just took his foot off the gas. And I was like, if this one, he had over 400 fights, man. Visually, think about that. Close your eyes and picture 400 men in front of you.
Going 12, though, that's different.
Man,
you're in an entirely different sport when you're going 12 rounds, because it's also an endurance sport, look, right?
Man, look,
Milkman, can I ask you a question, Milkman? If they do ring up on Lomachenko, who would you pick to win that fight? And in what fashion?
If Toledo and
Lomachenko fight again now, let's say they announce this fight after the Axeman fight, he wins against Axeman, and they announce Toledo. If he versus Toledo again, who do you think will win, and in what kind of fashion do you think they'll win? Do you think it'll be a dominant win for Toledo or Lomachenko, or a close fight and goes to hit? How do you think that fight goes down?
I think Lomachenko would blast him out of the water. That's why he needs to go ahead and get this shit behind him, man. He has no reason not to. He will have a successful career regardless, but he needs to just put this behind him, man. That's all I'm saying.
With that logic then, if you think he's gonna blast him out of the water, what differentiates that from something, let's say, like a Danny Garcia versus Vargas? We all think Garcia is gonna blow him out of the water, and we're not really concerned with watching that fight purely because we know that he's gonna demolish him. Now, I truly believe if they do fight again, Lomachenko is going to demolish him. So I'm not really concerned with that fight. Whereas when you mention him with, let's say, not so much Axeman, maybe Pacquiao or a Crawford or something, I think it's a lot closer in skill level. So I do want to watch those fights because I believe they're going to be competitive no matter who wins. So
my answer to that is the same, because we don't know until we know. I thought Iron Man 3 was going to be a fantastic movie. It fucking sucked.
But caller, we knew that though. I think you were just telling yourself that shit was going to be good. How many third movies in a Marvel comic?
First of all, I thought Iron Man 3 was good.
Usually you give it a movie or two. Like, honestly, the Batman with Bane was whack. I don't know which one, the name of that shit, but that, dude, I don't know. That was terrible. No. That was a terrible movie.
I can get shot going at my comic book movies over here, man. Stop it. Yo, that Batman Dark Knight, the final one was the shit.
You were living off the Dark Knight, I feel like, with that. I think it was like
when I found out that the little boy who got out of the fucking prison was the girl, I was like, oh, shit. Get out of here. That shit was dope. All this time we thought it was Bane who was the little boy.
I also heard you liked Doctor Strange. So,
That is bad, man.
Speaking of movies, do you know what I seen today? You guys are all going to be mad at me, but I finally seen
Hands of Stone.
Hands of motherfucking Alex. Yo, I'm going to put it out there. I don't give a fuck. I want to know who else cried. I cried a lot. That fucking movie was insane. I love it.
So De Niro, was it De Niro?
I am fucking ready. Listen, it was 9 a.m. Shout out to fucking Tiger Stream. It was 9 a.m. and I found a 1080p version on one of the sources, and I was ecstatic. When I watched, yo, I didn't know what the fuck. I said, yo, listen, my man. Yo, my man came through with some that new Snoop Dream. I didn't know if it was Snoop Dream or Oscar or the fucking Robert De Niro movie, but I was crying so much. That movie is amazing. His story, you know, I ain't no historian, so his story was good to watch on TV, and I love all the actors, basically. So, man, I'm ready to talk about that whenever you guys are. We could definitely do a movie, a show on that movie, because it was perfect. Damn, I don't even know. Did anyone hate it? Because Usher was perfect. Oh, Usher was amazing. That was a good-ass movie. What I didn't like was his wife. They could have found a better wife. That lady was never...
I haven't watched it.
She was
That's
never...
That's why, do not ruin it. Do not ruin it, because I have not watched it yet.
Oh, my God.
Listen,
I'm just like
watching.
You guys. I didn't find the time to go to the movies, but I got Tiger Stream. My wife. Listen, I'm just like you, but, you know, they could have did it better. They could have fucking chose someone else to be Sugar Ray Leonard's wife, you know what I'm saying? And there's nothing against her. She's pretty young and everything, but she's not A-level. She's not A-lister or, you know, one of those actors on.
Yeah, but what did his wife really look like? I'm sure they're trying to do that. So what the fuck are you talking about, Ness?
No, man. I mean,
she wasn't hot enough for your liking. Like, I'm sure they tried to make it look exactly like his wife looked like it.
She wasn't hot enough because this girl, I know this actor. I can't remember her name off top, but you know, I know the actor. She's okay. She's just not an A-list actor. This is the biggest movie she's probably been in. You know, being in a movie with De Niro is probably.
And you'd say Usher is A-level actor.
Usher's not A-level actor, but his crossover appeal for being who he is. I mean.
You know, yo, Alex, Ness respects him because he's in shape.
No, the shape that he got to play that role was insane. Okay, yo,
you see, this is like the you're like, yo, you went to the gym, so like, he's an A-lister to me.
Did he watch the movie? Did you watch the movie? Did you?
I haven't seen it.
MD, I'm talking to you.
No, I haven't seen the movie.
Mr. Criticized didn't watch the movie. Listen, let's stick to the topic. Milkman, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. We're going to go to probably Suleiman on the anonymous check-in. For whatever reason, he thinks we won't get to him unless he blocks his call. Suleiman.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing, Ness? Yeah, so, yeah, man, that fight was a pretty, I mean, that movie was a pretty good movie. I mean, that movie was nice.
Did you cry, Suleiman?
But to get...
Wait, Suleiman, he's right. And don't be embarrassed. Did it make you at least get emotional?
Of course, every man got a sentimental value, you know, sentimental thing. It did. I'm not going to lie about that.
He's a man. He didn't admit he cried on air. He's a man.
Dude, that part when he gets the fucking mangoes and his whole family's under the bed because it's like a fucking revolution going on, and he runs in his little beat-up shack. Now, I'm from the Dominican Republic, you know what I'm saying? So I understand the Caribbean architecture out there, and it was just like, damn, it took me back. He runs in there barefooted. He's got like 5 mangoes. His whole family, mom included, mind you, his mom was a little hottie, right? So everybody's under the bed. They get from under the bed. And she's like, where'd you get these mangoes? And he's like, I earned it working, but bullshit. This dude, you know,
his mom was an A-lister.
His mom was an A-lister, for real. The mom that they got for that movie, she played a part. Yo, they had a little holster top. It looked like she made it off a bed sheet or something, but the body was, look, air quotes, no air quotes. We're using the little emoji with the 3 fingers up. It's A-OK. Listen, Suleiman, take us back to boxing, man.
Yeah, so check us out, man. So I think Manny Pacquiao, man, you know, he's on top right now. You know what I mean? And he's looking for a big fight, a big venue. I mean, go sign that fight either with Errol Spence, you know, next fight. Take a young gun like a Errol Spence. Right, I mean, they want to work together, you know, Al Heyman and him, or you know, he really fought a couple of young fighters, right? So fight Errol Spence or fight this guy next. What's his name? Terrence Crawford. I mean, let him go out on top. If he's gonna go out, let him go out to a guy like Terrence Crawford. You know what I mean? Let it be some memorial and retire, or let's retire now, because you know, I mean, it's how many more fights can he have? I mean, he's faded. I think Terrence Crawford will knock him out, and I think Errol Spence will knock him out. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what you should do. I don't see no new guys unless he wants to fight Saddam Ali. If he fights Saddam Ali, it's another young gun right there that, you know, that all those guys, in my opinion, will beat him. You know what I'm saying?
The only way that you're bigging up Saddam Ali is because you think so much of Jesse Vargas. Like, what has Saddam Ali done since he got knocked out to make you think that he would...
Well, Saddam Ali was credible, man. He fought Jesse Vargas, and Jesse Vargas, to me, won that fight. But I don't want to get into that right now. Jesse Vargas beat Manny Pacquiao. Even Manny Pacquiao said he lost that fight.
To you? He knocked him out. Everybody won. He knocked him out.
Jesse Vargas beat that man, okay?
He knocked him out.
He beat him. He was in the center of the ring. He couldn't knock him out. He couldn't knock him out, but he beat him. Okay, but the bottom is that the guy is so popular. He's such a big icon that he won that fight.
Wait. You're talking about the Pacquiao fight? Suleiman. Like, I heard that. One second. I heard that you scored Jesse Vargas over Pacquiao. If you score the fights and you I guess send us the scorecards. Like, I'll be more than willing to, you know, read it on air or look at it and compare it to mine, because I don't know how the fuck you got that score, to be honest, man. I don't see it. So if you're willing, because, you know, you know a lot about boxing, right? And you know, watch all the fights. Like, I'm just interested to see how, you know, somebody would score it that way. And I think a lot of people listening to the Boxing Voice would feel the same. And if you guys are listening live, please hit thumbs up.
They say, have you fought fights before in the ring? Have you been in the ring? I mean, have you just fight? They say, if a guy's not tagging you, right, and you're in the center of the ring, right, and you connecting shots, and the guy's not doing nothing, all he was doing was running after the kid. And the kid was
landing. But who's not tagging? Who's not tagging who?
He won.
But the only thing that Jesse Vargas beat Pacquiao, the only thing that you maybe argue that Jesse Vargas beat Pacquiao in, and that's, I guess, size or control of the ring. But Manny Pacquiao was landing the much cleaner punches, had better defense, and obviously had the power. Like, even if you look at the punches landed, obviously Manny Pacquiao landed more, and they were more powerful. A lot of Jesse Vargas's work were blocked by Manny Pacquiao's guard when he had both of his hands in the front. And that still counts as a landed punch, right? When his hands are blocking the shots and his head's kind of snapping back a little bit, that's still a counted punch. But Jesse Vargas, only a few times in that fight, landed flush on Manny Pacquiao. So I don't know what you're talking about, Suleiman. That fight was not close. Manny Pacquiao was in second gear the whole night and easily won a points to victory.
You say, MD, I fought before, okay? If you're in the ring and you're controlling the pace of the fight, and you control the shot, the kid will back up. Pacquiao wasn't doing nothing. Pacquiao is old, man. Even he wants to hang up the gloves. He wanted to lose to Jesse, but Jesse couldn't.
No, Suleiman, since you fought before, when you're in the ring, right, and you're moving forward, and just because you feel like you're extended, you're using more energy, but the guy's tagging you, like, with cleaner shots and better opposition, like, if you've been in the ring, you know you're losing that fight. And Jesse Vargas, by his body language, by what happened in the fight, knew he lost that fight. So, like, just because you say, you know, you've been in the ring, it doesn't give you a different view than what happened in that fight. I mean, Jesse Vargas lost that fight. Suleiman, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't understand what you're seeing in that fight.
A lot of guys don't want to fight Pacquiao because of that. Because, like me, for example, like Danny Garcia wasn't going crazy, ecstatic to fight him. Because he know that he was going to get a bum deal. But now Keith Thurman want to fight him.
Only Marquez. Marquez is the only person I've ever seen Pacquiao fight that Pacquiao maybe got a enhanced scorecard. Obviously, he's famously known for being robbed by Tim Bradley. So I don't see Manny Pacquiao getting a ridiculous scorecard advantage. I don't know, you know.
Listen, man, the guy wants to hang up the gloves, man. The only guy I want to see, a young buck, knock him out, so he could just hang up the gloves and it'd be his career is done, man. Because I get annoyed to see this guy. I wish I was young and I go in the ring and knock him out for you, because the guy's easy. He's easy pickings, man. The guy he was exhausted in that fight, bro. He looked like he should hang up the gloves right now, man. I don't think he could beat none of those young guys, man. Terrence Crawford will knock him silly. Any of those guys will knock him out. Manny Pacquiao should hang up the gloves now.
Suleiman, I want to thank you for calling in, brother. We got to get to some other callers and for the...
Yo, he hates Pacquiao. That's hatred.
Yeah, he's seen it a different way. For the ladies and gentlemen in the chat, yes, Blog Talk is done. This was an on-demand show courtesy of Alex from Australia. So it was an hour show, and that hour is up, so the phone lines are closed. But I might be letting you special people in on the bat line, add Nesta Gibbs on Skype, and just maybe, like my man No Name Boxing, you could get on. No Name Boxing, talk to me, brother. How you been?
Chill. How you been, Ness?
Good, man. Good.
That last call, Suleiman, is he that WBC nigga?
Nah, he don't got the WBC belt. Nah, that was Joey. But Joey don't got it anymore anyway. Joey lost it to Casual. Casual lost it. Casual actually lost his belt and the WBC to.
But Carr, he has the title known as the Scholar, so that comes with a lot of weight.
Yeah, but he is the Scholar.
He clearly knows what the fuck he talking about Manny Pacquiao. Jesse Vargas clearly lost that fight. But with Vasyl Lomachenko, this is Bob Arum just fishing, you know, in case the Mayweather fight don't happen. He's fishing for other possible big fights for Pacquiao. What I gotta say about Lomachenko asking for a 135 or him to come down 135? Listen. Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather call you for a fight, you answer and you pick up, you heed to their demands. So, I mean, I don't see Lomachenko having a problem making 140. If not, make it to 137. You know, you ain't got to actually make 140. And I think they both can make a classic, to be honest. Lomachenko and Manny Pacquiao, that'll be a classic fight, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but you know, as a fighter, sometimes you need to be careful with the numbers you put out of your mouth because they could come back and bite you in the ass, right? So maybe it's smart for Lomachenko to stick there, to say that, right?
Yeah. He probably learned from Canelo, you know what I'm saying? You start saying you could do something.
Or Golovkin.
You got to do it.
Or Golovkin, too.
Golovkin does all the time.
I feel you, but
Sanchez than it is Golovkin.
I feel you guys, but like whenever Mayweather or a possible Mayweather or Pacquiao fight is on the horizon, you pick up that phone call. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You do that. I don't give a fuck who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like Danny Garcia and Broner, they didn't pick up the fight because they were scared they was getting fucked up by Pacquiao. You know what I mean? I still would have took the fight. Fuck it. You know what I mean? When all-time greats call you, big-time paydays call you, you pick up. I don't give a fuck what weight class you in. You come up. Marquez moved up to fight Mayweather two weight classes. You know what I mean? He picked up that phone call. You know what I mean? He didn't give a fuck. He wanted that fight and that money. You know?
Yeah, of course. If the money's there, of course. But it depends how much money's on the table for Pacquiao anymore. I mean, that last fight wasn't pay-per-view, was it? So I don't think there'd be much money in Pacquiao anymore.
I just feel like at that weight that Lomachenko was at, for him to make $2 million for any fight is a lot.
Exactly.
You don't see that.
If he gets offered $2 million,
he's got to jump on it.
He might even get more than that with the pay-per-view upside. He might get more than that. He might get like 3 to 4 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that's something you got to say. Listen, No Name Boxing, got to get to some others. Let me thank you, and let me get to some other here. We got 908. Right. I don't know if 908 you're going to be. I mean, we got no producer. Obviously, Steven is at his other job. So 908, talk to us. Lomachenko, Pacquiao, your thoughts.
Yo.
It is. Is this cherry picking at its finest? Because only a few of our callers have danced around the subject of this being cherry picking or not. But Pacquiao being a welterweight fighter for more than a decade now, I mean, is it not cherry picking to even be considering someone who one fight ago was a featherweight?
I think it's Bob Arum Promotions. I think it's Top Rank at its finest. It's taking what's left of the stable. It's the same reason why Bernard Hopkins is fighting Joe Smith, because Golden Boy is trying to stay afloat. So Lomachenko, you know, I don't want to say being thrown to the wolves, because, you know, Pacquiao ain't quite looking like a wolf. You know, I wouldn't say cherry picking, but I think, truthfully to me, the better fight is Lomachenko and Crawford. I think to me that's the better fight, you know, and just, you know, see where it goes. But I think Crawford, you know, he's going anywhere. I don't think he's going anywhere lower than 130, you know, 140. So I don't think that'll happen. But I don't think it's cherry picking. I just think it's business, unfortunately.
Can I ask a question? Why do you think that Crawford and Lomachenko would be a better fight than Pacquiao and Lomachenko?
Because I think Pacquiao and Lomachenko, again, it's not cherry picking, but it's Lomachenko coming up to what, 140? Pacquiao staying, you know, basically at a weight he's very comfortable with. It's not an exciting fight. There's two southpaws. Lomachenko is definitely not a come-forward fighter. He's a punishing puncher. You know, counter kind of stays in the pocket. Pacquiao's in and out with his angles. It's not an exciting fight to watch. It's not a good fight to watch. And you
really?
Think with
Did you watch his last fight? Did you watch Lomachenko's last fight? So you didn't watch him against Martinez? Did you? Watching versus Rocky Martinez?
I did.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. When you say Lomachenko isn't a come forward type fighter, you should probably watch that fight. I mean, he was up against someone a lot more, I feel, was bigger than him. Hmm? Sorry?
Who comes forward against Manny Pacquiao?
Well, it really depends. I mean, not many people, especially if they're smaller than him. But I'm just saying, like, I don't see it being a boring fight. I'd see the Crawford fight being more boring. I mean, if you look at their frames and height and reach, Lomachenko and Pacquiao are much more suited, whereas I feel like Crawford is just too long, has better reach, is very slick, very defensive. I think he'll use that range and size advantage. I mean, even when he fought Gamboa, wasn't he having troubles making weight? It'd be a very difficult fight for Lomachenko Crawford. I think he's just too big. I think that's where I'd say he's too big. Whereas Lomachenko is a very small welterweight.
Do you not see Lomachenko having only, I don't know, what, 8 career fights, 9 career fights at this point, you know, him becoming a better pro? Because I see that he is a little more aggressive and he's a little more come forward and his output's higher. So I don't think that he's necessarily the boring fighter that you're describing, caller. Like, his output is much more, numerous than like Rigondeaux. That was his issue, not the power, the output.
The fight gentleman is boring, not the fighter, because he's fighting Manny Pacquiao. It's a different disposition. He's not going to be able to come forward against a guy like Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is already quick on the draw, in and out with his angles, throwing that kind of backhanded swift jab. Lomachenko is going to be waiting to counter, and he's going to be waiting a long time. He may be able to get off faster. He might not. Pacquiao may be able to get in 2 and 3 punches. I mean, the only thing that makes it a good fight is Lomachenko's power, and he could put Pacquiao on his ass. But if Pacquiao's starting in and out with that kind of backhand swift jab, it ain't going to happen. Not against Manny Pacquiao. And he didn't look all that good against Jesse Vargas, but Lomachenko isn't going to look good against Manny Pacquiao.
I want to thank you for calling in, brother. I'm going to get to some other callers. We got to start wrapping it up. We're only here for an hour. Alex, did you have something for him?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was just going to ask him quickly, in what departments do you think Pacquiao is a better fighter than Lomachenko? I mean, I'm thinking angles, footwork, speed, power, obviously, I think goes to Pacquiao, but I think in almost every other department I see, at least, even though we haven't witnessed him fight the same caliber of opponent as Pacquiao, I truly believe that Lomachenko really does have it all. So I don't agree, to say the least.
I was just telling, he was addressing that to you.
Yeah, listen, it's not a knock on Lomachenko. You put him in there against any other fighter, and see, the only reason why I think the Terrence Crawford is a better fight, because I think Terrence Crawford got a better chance of knocking Lomachenko out, or they stopping the fight. You know, so that, I think that's, to me, you know, I would like to
I agree with you.
I like that Terrence Crawford sacrifices his defense. Because his defense, and you mentioned, and it's not a knock on what you're saying, but you mentioned Mayweather style. He ain't that Mayweather style, because he's switching up sides, and he's more aggressive when he's southpaw. He's given a lot of chin, and if you're good enough, you can hit him. If Lomachenko's good enough, he could hit him. So he might be rangy, but I don't think he's going to stay in conventional. He tends to be a little bit more rangy and countery when he's fighting conventional. And in the last two fights, Crawford's been going southpaw with that aggressive style of sacrificing his chin and going in there and banging out. So I think he would put pressure and make Lomachenko fight you balls to the wall kind of fight, and I think it would be a puncher's fight. To me, that fight would be a puncher's fight between those two guys. Lomachenko might be in there fighting like he did against Salido, a bigger guy, a stronger guy, because he started to look better against Salido towards the end of the fight. That's when Lomachenko came on, because he started throwing a few low blows in there too, and he started fighting real ballsy. So in his development, again, like MD said, 8 fights in, I'm not taking nothing away from him, but I'm just, to me, describing what I would see or what I would envision if those two guys were in the ring.
Well, I mean, again, thank you for calling in and always being part of the show. Spontaneous, flagship, it doesn't matter. I mean, here. I mean, we can't wait for one day to you make it out to the TBV Appreciation Party, man. We're going to be in the West Coast this time, ladies and gentlemen. November 18th, head on over to theboxervoice.com. At the top of the website, you will see the sign for TBV Appreciation Night. You can get your tickets there. Our Patreon members, tickets start at $129, Patreon $130. Virgil Hunter. The good Virgil Hunter, the trainer, will be in the house, as well as former WBO champion Kid Chocolate Peter Quillen, as well as Mario Barrios, the up-and-coming prospect, TBV's prospect of the year for sure. And Caleb Plant will also be in the building, and the trainer of Daniel Jacobs, Saddam Ali, and many others, Andre Rozier, will also be in the building as well. Everybody that attends will receive a Everlast goodie bag with Everlast shirts, TBV shirts, and some more Everlast goodies that we got you guys. So definitely head on over to theboxingvoice.com and get your tickets quickly. We got about 10 days left, I think, man, for the big Ward Kovalev fight and the fight week, man. So we want to meet everybody out there. Cut West, get your butt out there from Atlanta. 5'10", you're up.
What's up, man? It's Donald, man. I want to say, man, you know, I could kind of see how they're going for Lomachenko, for Manny Pacquiao, because we got to be honest here. Manny Pacquiao just beat Jesse Vargas. In my opinion, Jesse Vargas, he's good. I would say he's a C-plus or a B-minus fighter. That's the best I can give him because he just really hasn't had no good opponents. Manny Pacquiao beat him, but we can't say Manny Pacquiao is the Manny Pacquiao who knocked out Ricky Haddon or Miguel Cotto. He's not that Manny Pacquiao no more. And a win over Jesse Vargas just doesn't put him in a position to say he should fight Terrence Crawford or Errol Spence or Kell Brook or Adrian Broner. He's going to lose against those guys. I would see him getting stopped by Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. And I'd see him losing a decision to Kell Brook and Adrian Broner. So he's just not there. So I can see how they go into Lomachenko because Lomachenko, he's just in. He's got 8 fights in. He doesn't have that many pro fights. And he's good. And people like to see him. And, you know, he's a lower weight class. That's probably the best they can do for Manny Pacquiao because they know they can't put him in with these top welterweights. They can't put him in there with Danny Garcia or Keith Thurman. He's going to get knocked out and his career is going to be over. That's why I said for him to go to Terrence Crawford and they're talking about that, it's like that's too early for him. He's going to go in there. He's going to get knocked out like how Marquez did him. You know, it's just he can't fight elite 147 fighters. I mean, maybe they should look into a B-class 140 fighter and give it to him. But like I said, looking at, you know, Terrence Crawford or like Kell Brook wanted him, no, not for Manny Pacquiao right now. He's going to go out there and get knocked out. And if he wants to end his career on a good note, he cannot go in there and fight the top welterweight. He's got to go fight like 2 or 3 more Jesse Vargas's and end his career like that. I mean, he got lucky that Jesse Vargas had the WBO because that was a borderline easy fight for him. But top welterweights, no. Top 140, no. It's just, no. Manny Pacquiao, he's not that level in his career no more. I mean, he did good for someone who's 37. He moved pretty well, but I just don't see Manny Pacquiao beating any top elite fighters at this age. You know, he's good, but he's not that good. You know, he just needs to do a couple of more Jesse Vargas fights and hang it up. You know, it's not really nothing he can do at this point. You know, try to get whatever he can, some money. Like I said, Lomachenko, maybe that's big. You know, a Mayweather rematch, which I wouldn't want to see that because that was boring and they're going to charge so much money for that shit. And Manny Pacquiao is going to go out there and get embarrassed again. So, I mean, so, yeah, I can see why they go into this little guy, Lomachenko, because really, technically, what else is out there for him? You know, what elite fighter can he beat right now without him really risking getting knocked out or getting embarrassed? You guys tell me, what elite fighter do you think Manny Pacquiao can seriously beat without a chance of him getting knocked out and embarrassed? I want to wait and see and hear it.
Well, Donald, I think you're being a bit overly critical. I'm pretty sure. Well, you said without getting knocked down. I don't know. I'd have to give that one some thought. In the meantime, let me get to some other callers. Donald, thank you for calling in. Larry, you're here. Don't worry. You got one more, and then we're going to you, brother. 786, you're up.
Yo, what's good, man? How you doing, brother?
What's up? What's up? Good? Yes, sir.
Putting that work. Hurricane Ray, checking in.
What's going on, Hurricane Ray?
First of all, man, I had a great weekend, man. Man, that movie Hands of Stone was pretty good. I just peeked it yesterday, but, man, what about that shorty, his wife, man? She's fly, brother.
What? Yo, when she first came on, I didn't even think she was full-blown Latin, to be honest with you. I thought when, you know, that whole scene, him following her, him walking up to her, I thought she was going to talk to us in English. When she started talking Spanish that fluent, I was like, damn, pero mamacita.
Yeah. Yo, she's actually Cuban, man.
That's official.
Actually Cuban-American, if I'm not mistaken. But, man, she had a booty on her. Anyways, man, yo, for me, I think the fight with Jesse Vargas, I think they were setting him up possibly for a Terrence Crawford fight, man. It's not out of the realm of the possibility that, that you know, Bob Arum wants to pass the baton on to Terrence Crawford. And, man, honestly, I think I don't think Terrence Crawford is a spot of caliber fighter of Manny Pacquiao, even though Manny Pacquiao is on his way down, clearly. He's not the same, but still has the footwork, still has the quickness, still has that power in his hand. And, man, honestly, I would like to see him fight Danny Garcia, but, you know, Danny Garcia got his hands full at the moment fighting Vasquez and then Keith Thurman. And as far as with Lomachenko, man, that'll be a good fight for Lomachenko to prove himself and get that star power. But other than that, man, I told you last time I want to nominate Lomachenko as Fighter of the Year, and for him to come in next year and possibly get this fight, man, that's a lot for him, man. I see him as an up-and-coming star, and man, I wouldn't mind that fight, man. I don't see it as a big mismatch. I think it's an opportunity for him to prove himself against Manny Pacquiao, the legend, and that's about it. That's all I got to say today, my brother.
All right, Hurricane Ray, man, thank you for the check-in. MD, it's so strange that many are not calling this a cherry pick, man. Manny Pacquiao gets a pass for a lot of things. Larry, San Francisco.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Big ups to the Boxing Voice, and big ups to Alex for going to the pocket to bring us this great broadcast. I do appreciate it. And I will I'll pay it back by getting my on-demand on sometime after Kovalev Ward. With that said, though, I am not trying to see Pac Loma. That would continue a disturbing trend in boxing of these whack crossweight class fights that get in the way of the fights that we really want to see. Let's have Lomachenko fighting Walters and Mikey Garcia and them dudes down there, and let's keep Pacquiao with the cats at 147, and we'll be just fine. I forgot. Big ups to the great country of America, where even cats like Suleiman and Donald can get their opinion off, no matter how ridiculous it is. If you can come off a year where you beat Tim Bradley and Jesse Vargas convincingly, but then somebody says you can't beat Broner or Danny Garcia, something's wrong with that. And I was going to get on Suleiman, but at the end of his call, his true colors came true. He just don't like Manny Pacquiao. I want to see him lose. But with that said, I do appreciate y'all. I do want to see these fights. Oh, one last thing. Bob Arum is not putting Pacquiao in with Lomachenko or Terrence Crawford. He's got it set up perfectly right now at Top Rank. You got Pacquiao on top of the pay-per-view money. You got Crawford in the middle building his way up there. And you got Lomachenko on the bottom still getting his feet wet down there. Keep them levels separated, make money on all three levels, and keep them dudes without further L's on their record unless they get real, real, real big fights. Love y'all. Appreciate it. I'm out.
All right, Larry. Excellent call. You know what it is, though, MD? No one's thinking of the element that if Lomachenko remains at 130, well, then HBO is going to push for Valdez Lomachenko sooner than later.
Yeah, do you think Valdez is ready for that? Well, I mean, after fighting a 60th ranked opponent?
No, that's the thing. It's not a matter of is he ready. It's more like they're 230 pounders in the same stable on the same network with two titles.
I feel like Valdez is going to have to be groomed a little more than that. I don't think they're willing to give him up right now to Lomachenko because he doesn't seem – I don't think – it's not really smart business to put him against Lomachenko right now. Especially if he schools Nicholas Walters. He ain't ready for that.
Well, let's go out to the Skype machine. We got Mr. Wright. Talk to us. First time calling in?
Nah, man, this is Jay from Orlando. I had to hit the bat line in order to get in.
See, because you a long time caller, man. You know.
All right, man. Hey, first and foremost, man, I think Manny Pacquiao is stuck between a rock and a hard place. I think that he can make a huge fight with Kell Brook, something like along those lines. Terrence Crawford, I don't see him wanting no parts of. He even said it himself. His trainer has said it numerous times. Lomachenko, I don't see him getting down to that weight. I don't know how he's going to do that. So I think he's kind of stuck where he needs to really fight Danny Garcia and Adrian Broner, but those guys are smart and they're not going to fight him. So I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to have to find something. Maybe there's a name out there that we're not just thinking of. I think a great fight would be Keith Thurman. I think Keith Thurman will win, but Keith Thurman just has to beat Danny Garcia. So we'll see what happens. That's pretty much my call.
Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for using that bat line, Jay from Orlando. Look at that. Knowing how to get on the show even when lines are down. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, that has been your on-demand show, courtesy of Alex. Alex, any last parting words?
Thanks, everyone. Keep supporting TBV. Sign up to Patreon and maybe some more on-demand shows, eh? Thanks, everyone.
All right. Well, keep in mind that we got another on-demand show coming courtesy of Pittsburgh Bruce, our very own IBF champion, who will be unifying with Canadian Jose, who's flying in with his WBO to collect his WBC and Ring Magazine title that he won from Enrique. And this all could be seen live. And someone emailed me and asked me, hey, these belts that you guys are talking about on the show, are these, you know, fake belts or these replicas? No, these are definitely authentic replicas, right? That might be an oxymoron, but these are given to us by the sanctioning bodies in the case of the WBC and by Golden Boy in the case of the ring. So yes, TBV.
He's pretty much saying that they're really not, they're not knockoffs. They're nice. I mean, no. you want to hang them up in your house.
Well, more than hang them up. I mean, definitely the WBC belt that has been passed around for a few TBV listeners is a $2,500 belt. That could be checked. That is a, what was it? I forgot. Well, you're going to have to check the episode. But it was an Adidas edition, specially given to Muhammad Ali or something like that. And then the Ring Magazine is the Ring Magazine, right? So that's about $5,000 worth of trinkets, not to mention Bruce's own WBO and Jose's IBF. So, yes, you know. But in order to even get a title shot, you got to go through Patreon. If you want more content, like we were talking Lomachenko and Salido, we actually did a retrospective series episode on that fight since Lomachenko will be fighting Walters. And pretty soon we'll be doing Walters' Jason Sosa only on Patreon. So definitely check out Patreon for more exclusive content. I'm your host, Ness GTO. Find me on Twitter and Instagram, always talking boxing. And you can find my good doctor,
BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will see you with a No On Demand this week, plus our flagship show on Thursday, which is preview show for Danny Garcia and Luis Ortiz taking on Malik Scott in Monaco. Make sure you get your picks in. We got a producer.
We will be serving crow on Sunday for that one. Oh, and that riveting matchup.
And all you people who think you got away because you didn't call in Sunday from the crow. Oh, no. We have a producer now. You will get this regardless.
You pick an upset?
There's a list. We'll be checking it twice, and we damn sure going to serve the crow up to those who have been naughty, not nice. We'll see you guys next time. Thank you for joining us.